Touchdown, the sights and sounds of perseverance on Mars, this week on Planetary Radio. Welcome. I'm Matt Kaplan of the Planetary Society with more of the human adventure across our solar system and beyond. NASA's Mars 2020 rover has safely reached Jezero Crater, taking the first step toward the return of Martian soil that may tell us if life once existed there. In the meantime, it will explore a river delta, launch a helicopter, make movies, and let us listen to the sounds of the red planet. A very special episode of our show this week as we bring you some of the most memorable moments in the creation of a most memorable space exploration milestone. You'll also hear my brief conversation with Bill Nye about this accomplishment. We'll close with the Planetary Radio premiere of a new tune inspired by Perseverance that was composed and recorded by our unearthly friends, the Amoeba People, on the day the rover landed. I wish we could include everything that's in the expanded online version of this week's show, including much more coverage of the rover mission and the winners of our Mars Poetry Contest. You can hear it all at planetary.org/radio. We'll get right to it, skipping our usual review of headlines from the Planetary Society's newsletter. Besides, the top story in the latest edition of the Downlink is, what else? The landing of Perseverance. You can read and see more at planetary.org/downlink. It is the morning of Thursday, February 18th at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. A crowd has gathered there. That in itself is out of the ordinary after nearly a year of careful isolation and barely occupied facilities. Perseverance is approaching the outer reaches of the Martian atmosphere, where its 7 minutes of terror will begin. Rows of engineers and managers sit at their consoles, listening to the mostly very careful communications flowing to their headsets. There is a pause as three leaders of this nearly decade-long effort express their hopes and thanks.
Thanks for literally and figuratively putting us in the right position to succeed. And let's land on Mars together.
Copy EDL phase. As flight director, I also would like to thank the whole team, cruise ops, EDL ops, EDL team, and the surface ops as well. It's been an amazing journey. I think we all know that. And it's been my honor and pleasure to work with you all side by side. And your tireless efforts and endurance in the face of our challenges has been truly, truly inspiring. So kudos to you. Mission, would you like to say something?
Yeah, just echoing the same words that that Al and Magdi have mentioned, you guys have overcome great obstacles in the last 6.5 months, and it started with an earthquake in this room on launch day at L-minus 20 minutes. I can't be more proud than all of the achievements that you guys have pulled off in the last 6.5 months. Whatever happens in the next hour and a half, you can be proud of the achievements that you've accomplished so far. I look forward to seeing you on the other side, and I only wish that the rest of our team could be sharing this moment with us. This is a very unusual event. This room is only half as full as it would be if we weren't in this pandemic. So missing everybody on the team who's not with us here today. And go EDL.
Welcome to the EDL family.
And with that, Godspeed Perseverance.
Now the 7 minutes have begun. You'll mostly hear JPL engineer Swati Mohan as she narrates the descent moment by moment. But you'll also hear an anxious and excited Rob Manning reacting to each update. Rob is JPL's chief engineer and was providing color commentary for NASA's TV coverage of the landing. Here is my somewhat compressed montage that will take us right through that landing and a nice photographic surprise.
Perseverance has just passed through the point of maximum deceleration and has indicated that it felt approximately 10 Earth Gs of deceleration.
Camera has lock again.
Yes, 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 yes.
We saw a small outage of the UHF telemetry from Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter during that peak heating phase, likely caused by the plasma blackout. Perseverance is still continuing to perform bank reversals in the atmosphere to control its distance to the landing target. We are starting the straighten up and fly right maneuver, where the spacecraft will jettison the entry balance masses in preparation for parachute deploy and to roll over to give the radar a better look at the ground.
Yes.
The navigation has confirmed that the parachute has deployed, and we are seeing significant deceleration in the velocity. Our current velocity is 440 meters per second at an altitude of about 12 kilometers from the surface of Mars.
Yes.
Perseverance has now slowed to subsonic speeds, and the heat shield has been separated. This allows both the radar and the cameras to get their first look at the surface. Current velocity is 145 meters per second at an altitude of about 9.5 kilometers above the surface.
Yes.
Perseverance now has radar lock on the ground. Current velocity is about 100 meters per second, 6.6 kilometers of the surface. Perseverance is continuing to descend on the parachute. We are coming up on the initialization of terrain relative navigation and subsequently the priming of the landing engines. Our current velocity is about 90 meters per second at an altitude of 4.2 kilometers. We have confirmation that the lander vision system has produced a valid solution and part of terrain relative navigation.
Yes.
We have priming of the landing engines. SkyCam maneuver has started. About 20 meters off the surface. Touchdown confirmed. Perseverance safely on the surface of Mars. Ready to begin seeking the sands of past life. At this point, the descent stage has flown away to a safe distance. Perseverance is continuing to transmit direct through Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter to Earth.
Oh my God.
More reports, they're still getting telemetry from the lander.
All right, all stations.
We got it.
Touchdown confirmed. We're going to wait for the images.
This is so exciting. The team is beside themselves. It's so surreal. Stay tuned. We might get some pictures.
It'd be great.
Been riding on this.
We have just heard the news that Perseverance is alive on the surface of Mars. Congratulations to the mission. And looks like we have some more news in. It looks like we're getting the first image. Here, take a look at the first image.
Flight, this is OL3. I have the target point on the map when you are ready.
We are ready, OL3. Go for it.
Okay, these we have a camera in the front and at rear of the spacecraft. It's they're near the ground, so these are pretty close. So you can see the wheels there, and they're a little dirty because we've got glass covers over these cameras. But we took these seconds after landing, so they're still dust in the air from our landing event. So this is happening. This happened just seconds ago, just arrived, and this is really amazing. And we even know where we landed. This is the most amazing thing. The vehicle has told us where it's landed because it figured it out. You know, this is a sign. NASA works. NASA works. And when we put our arms together and our hands together and our brains together, we can succeed. This is what NASA does. This is what we can do as a country.
on all of the problems we have. We need to work together to do these kinds of things and make success happen.
Hours have passed. Mission leaders, NASA officials, and others have gathered with proper social distancing in JPL's famed Von Karman Auditorium, where I'm sure I'd have been if the pandemic had allowed. Jessica Samuels is the Perseverance Surface Mission Manager. She provided this report on the health of the rover.
All of our instruments have gone through their initial checkouts, and we're happy to report that they are all performing nominally and as expected. Now, when I say nominal, it really means fantastic, because we can't wait to continue to use this payload suite.
You've probably seen the jaw-dropping, unprecedented video captured by Perseverance as it descended right down to the surface. I wish I could share it with you here and now. Here's the next best thing. My colleague Jason Davis has collected video, images, and more from the mission. You'll find his terrific article at planetary.org. There's something our show is ideally suited for. To introduce it, here is Dave Gruhl, manager of assembly, test, and launch operations for Perseverance.
I think we probably have overloaded your visual sense for a little bit, so we're going to do something a little bit different, and I'm going to have some fun here for a second, too. So I'm going to get rid of this, and I'm going to talk to you now with this. This is the microphone that was part of the EDL camera system. When the EDL cam system was first envisioned, it was set up as just a bunch of cameras to capture some amazing imagery on the surface of Mars. And about a year or so after it was first conceived, I got a phone call, another call from Matt, who after talking to headquarters asked the question, could we possibly put a microphone as part of our EDL camera system? So we worked with the team, we took a look, and sure enough, it was something that we could do. And so we started off that detailed design and identifying a microphone that would work for us and getting it onto the vehicle. About a year after this first started, I was giving a tour at JPL. And I happened to mention to the group that I was giving the tour to that the decision had come down and we were working to actually include a microphone onto the vehicle. And after the tour was done, a gal came up to me and she said some things to me that I won't forget anytime soon. She said, I'm super excited that you guys are going to try to put a microphone onto the rover and get it to the surface of Mars. And I was very appreciative. And I asked her afterwards, I said, I'm curious, why is it that this relates to you so much? And her response was that her sister was visually impaired. She was not able to see these images that we saw earlier or that we sent down in the past. And while she tries to describe them to her, she felt that she just can't quite capture that same sense of amazement that she gets when she could see him visually. And that by actually getting a microphone out of the surface of Mars, the hope was that she'd be able to experience things on Mars the same way that she was when she actually looked at them. And that stuck with me. We continued to work super hard to make sure that this microphone would work. And that's part of the reason we were disappointed why it didn't work when we actually went and did our entry, descent, and landing sequence. I wish I had actually captured that individual's name. I would love to reach out to her now and say, we've done it. I hope your sister is enjoying it. Because what I'm going to show you in a second, or what you're going to hear in a second, is actually the first sounds being recorded from the surface of Mars. So there are two microphones on the Perseverance vehicle. There's this microphone here, which is part of the entry, descent, and landing system. And there's a second microphone that is on the SuperCam instrument. And we're counting on both of these instruments recording some absolutely amazing sounds from the surface of Mars. So with that, I invite you now to, if you would like to, close your eyes and just imagine yourself sitting on the surface of Mars and listening to the surroundings. So that gentle whirl that happens in the background, that is a noise made by the rover. But yes, what you did hear 10 seconds in was an actual wind gust on the surface of Mars, picked up by the microphone, and sent back to us here on Earth. The analysis indicates that was around a 5 meter per second type of a wind gust. So we can sit here now and actually tell you that we have recorded sounds from the surface of Mars.
Al Chen led the entry, descent, and landing team. Here he is describing the almost unbelievable accuracy of the landing that was enabled by new technology, including the Terrain Relative Navigation System.
And in fact, when you combine that with our safe target selection and where we flew to, we only missed the targeted pixel by about 5 meters. So we were aiming for a particular spot on the planet once it decided what was reachable and what the safest spot was. And given the given how well the Lander Vision System performed and our system in flying us there, we only missed by 5 meters.
I believe all of us at the Planetary Society were online watching the amazing revelations presented at that February 22nd media briefing. Society CEO Bill Nye was among us. Bill, it has only been seconds since the end of that absolutely stunning media briefing by NASA, by the JPL folks, where they unveiled those videos and the microphone audio from Mars. I think that was the most awe-inspiring video I've seen since Apollo 11.
Well, there's some other Apollo footage that's pretty amazing where they dropped the hammer. Watching the SpaceX rockets, boosters come back and land, that's amazing. But this is, you're right, this is astonishing. Video from another world, supersonic parachute opens, sky crane rocket sled thing lowers rover on surface, flies away. Wow. And then we hear the wind whoosh, whoosh by. Oh my goodness. Understand, we at the Planetary Society have been trying to get a microphone on Mars for at least 22 years. I guess 30 years, 40 years. And so there are two microphones on Mars. And there's a cost savings. They're made from off-the-shelf stuff. Just amazing that these things worked at all. And now we have the sounds from Mars, which I guarantee you will lead to some scientific discovery, let alone engineering refinement. It's just really something, you guys. And I think as remarkable as the video is, as remarkable as the audio is, these things are, if I may employ a double negative, they ain't nothing compared with the discoveries that will be made in the coming weeks. Oh, wait, there's more, Matt. The graphics on the photometric calibration target, the radiometric calibration target, were designed by our own Mark Hilverda, our internet guy.
Mark Hilverda, who gets his name at the end of every episode of Planetary Radio as associate producer of this series, helps us make it available to all of you.
One more thing, Matt, a really compelling question that was asked in the press conference. Why do we spend money on this? Why do we spend money on exploring other worlds when there's so many problems here on Earth? And the answer can be couched many different ways, but one of the reasons you explore is because you don't know what you're going to find. You don't really know what's over the next horizon, as our founder, Bruce Murray, used to say. And if we are to discover life on Mars, evidence of life, rather, on Mars, it will change the course of human history. It will be a very different feeling for all of us living here in the cosmos on this pale blue dot. It's so moving. This is the most worthy investment of our intellect and treasure. And the amount of money spent on these missions is almost in the noise. It's almost a round-off error. I'm not talking about the NASA budget, which is not even 0.5% of the federal budget. This is 9% of 0.5%. This changes the world. Back to you, Matt.
Thank you, Bill. I have nothing to add except that that's Bill Nye. He is the CEO of the Planetary Society. Stay with us. What's up? And a great new musical tribute to Perseverance from the Amoeba People are seconds away. This is Planetary Radio.
Hi, I'm Jason Davis, editorial director for the Planetary Society. Did you know there are more than 20 planetary science missions exploring our solar system? That means a lot of news happens in any given week. Here's how to keep up with it all. The Downlink is our new roundup of planetary exploration headlines. It connects you to the details when you want to dive deeper. From Mercury to interstellar space, we'll catch you up on what you might have missed. That's the Downlink, every Friday at planetary.org.
Hey, Planetary Radio listeners, the Planetary Society now has an official online store. We've teamed up with Chop Shop, known for their space mission posters, to bring you space-inspired art and merchandise. You can find exclusive Planetary Society t-shirts, posters, and more. Visit planetly.com/spaceshop to learn more. That's planet.ly/spaceshop.
Time for What's Up on Planetary Radio, and it is going to be a decidedly Martian version of What's Up. We are joined by the chief scientist of the Planetary Society. How are you, Bruce? Bruce Betts is here.
Spiffy Keen, poetic.
I'm just glad we didn't have to write poems, because that might have been painful.
I am too. I'm just amazed by the number and quality and length of the poetry. Thank you to everyone who's contributed. How about I tell you about the poetic night sky right now?
Can't wait.
Okay, so we've got Mars in the evening sky in the southwest looking reddish. Over to its left is similar looking reddish Aldebaran, the star. They will be growing closer together until mid-March, although they won't be super close. And then the pre-dawn, it's that time. Promised you more planets. Now that Mars has passed its publicity, major push of publicity, other planets are allowed to come up. So we've got Jupiter and Saturn very low in the eastern sky. So still very tough to see, but in the pre-dawn, getting higher and higher every night. Jupiter is lower and brighter. Saturn is higher and yellowish. And Mercury, also very low down pre-dawn, actually very near Jupiter. In fact, very close to Mercury the morning of March 5th. It will be less than a degree away. Jupiter is much brighter of the two. You might want to use binoculars. Make sure the sun's not up yet. But look, binoculars, you'll need a clear view to the eastern horizon. And then I will be annoying you talking about Jupiter and Saturn being in the sky for months to come. Mercury will disappear in a couple weeks and go back to hiding.
I would hate for us to be accused of being overly enamored of Mars. We love all planets equally.
Yes. Yes, we do.
And a few moons, too.
We move on to this week in space history. First, I'll stop laughing because a sad note. 1966, Gemini 9 primary crew, Charles Bassett and Elliot C., were killed in a T-38 plane crash. Hmm. On to much happier news. 2007, New Horizons flew past Jupiter, got cool pictures and data while they were going. On to random space fact. As of February 2021, in other words now, there have been 101 crewed space flights to the International Space Station.
That's so impressive. And all of them successful.
And, well, depending on how you define success. There was one abort. And in fact, I don't actually know where the Soyuz abort counts. So somewhere between 100 and 101. There's a lot. There's been a lot. And it kind of makes you wonder, though, doesn't it? How many uncrewed space flights there have been? Well, we'll come back to that.
That's going to be very handy. I forgot about that fairly recent Soyuz abort. At least it worked exactly the way that it was supposed to.
Yes, it was very successful from that standpoint. Obviously, it kept the crew safe. So in that respect, perfectly successful, but not to the space station. Let us tackle the trivia contest. How many lasers are on board the Perseverance rover? There was a complexity, yet again, that I didn't think about. But how do we do in the answers?
Let me describe that complexity to you. It came from at least one person. There might have been another that I missed. Ben Drought in Iowa said there were four lasers. He counted three on Perseverance itself, which I'm sure you will describe to us. But it turns out there is a small laser altimeter on the Ingenuity helicopter, and he says it may not be part of the rover, but Ingenuity is on board, quote unquote, as of time question was asked, so its altimeter counts.
That's true, and I forgot about that, thinking of just Perseverance, but I'm glad our listeners didn't. So we will take three
or four as the correct answer in the contest, anyone who got chosen by random.org. You want me to describe stuff, or you want to talk people?
Well, I have a poem that'll help us get started with this. It comes from our
Another
poet laureate,
poem?
Dave. Yes, I can't help myself. I guess he can't help himself either. Dave Fairchild in Kansas, with apologies to Yankee Doodle. I'll do my best with this. Perseverance went to Mars, riding on a rocket, had three lasers, microphones, and cameras in its pocket. Supercam has two hooked up. They're both a trailblazer. Sherlock has the other one, and it's a UV laser.
Yes, and as he so often does, he's captured the essence of the answers. There are two lasers in Supercam, one infrared and one visible, and then one in Sherlock instrument, a UV laser. And one on Ingenuity, the helicopter, which as of right now is indeed still on board or underboard the rover.
Here's our winner. It's a first time. He is a first time winner, Sam Kogar in West Virginia, who gave us the number 3 and adds, I love the show. Thanks for always letting me know what's up. Congratulations, Sam. You're not only what's up now, you have won yourself actually two things, a Planet Fest t-shirt, Planet Fest 21 t-shirt, and he's going to get a copy of The Big Book of Mars by Mark Hartzman, that delightful book by Mark. And Mark, of course, was one of our participants in that Planet Fest 21 weekend.
Congratulations.
I got one more that I'll read to you from Laura Dodd in California. Bruce, I would use a high-powered laser to coax Martian cats out to play, proving that there is indeed superior life on the red planet. Maybe all those canali are just scratch marks.
Those are some big, big cats that I
don't want to meet.
On to a new trivia contest with a shorter answer than that one. How many uncrewed space flights have there been to the International Space Station? That's it.
Oh, that's it. That's simple.
Go to planetary.org/radio contest.
Wow. Okay, that makes it easy. You've got until Wednesday, March 3rd at 8 a.m. Pacific time to get us this answer. You may win yourself a Planetary Society rubber asteroid. They're just that popular. We're done.
All right, everybody, go out there, look up the night sky, and think about doggy belly rubs. Thank you, and good night.
Ah, they love those belly rubs, don't they? We're talking about dogs here, right? That's Bruce Betts. He's the chief scientist for the Planetary Society, who joins us every week for What's Up. It's time for a Mars party with the Amoeba People. Here's their brand new tune by that name. Planetary Radio is produced by the Planetary Society in Pasadena, California, and is made possible by its members. Mark Hilverda, yeah, that Mark Hilverda, is our associate producer. Josh Doyle composed our theme, which is arranged and performed by Peter Schlosser. Ad Aries. Take it away, Meebs.
Perseverance traveling through the emptiness of space. And when she lands, will she find a microbial Martian race? Nobody knows for sure. And NASA has high hopes. But whether or not we'll find those little guys, there's one thing that we know. Mars party, ooh, Mars party, ooh. When Perseverance lands in those ancient Martian sands, Mars party, ooh, Mars party, ooh. When Perseverance lands in those ancient Martian sands, Red Rover, send Perseverance over. And even though we're pretty sure she won't find a single batch of clover, in Jezero crater, where Perseverance will alight, perhaps we'll find what's left behind of ancient Martian life. Mars party, ooh, Mars party, ooh, when Perseverance lands.